This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Tell me when we're doing the part that's like the cold open part that that it's like super cash and everyone's just like, yeah, we haven't started yet. But
oh, I think that's this.
Is this it?
I don't know.
Are we actually in it?
Oh, yeah.
No.
The thing is, once you start saying the cold open part, it's like that's the key
that's
phrase.
That's what makes the gears
that's
start
our, turn. It's Saturday night!
Live from the studio, it's Punch Up the Jam!
Punch it!
It's time for Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Bitch, where were you when I was punching?
Yep.
Now I'm in the game, got the whole world talking. King comes to everybody wanting to cut the legs on him. When you punch the jams.
What's the jams? Good night, everybody!
Good night! Thank you to Michael Makuka for that suggestion.
Oh, that was great.
Shout out to Mikey.
Michael Makunta.
Yes.
The king.
The king. King Mikey. Welcome to Punch Up the Jam, everybody.
My name is Miel.
My name is not Miel. Miel, what do we do here on this damn show?
I wish I knew. Oh. I scream a lot. I laugh a lot.
Yeah.
Always there's some sexually explicit content.
A lot
always.
Of editing for super producer Marissa.
Marissa has to edit like 15 hours per episode.
Shout out to Marissa.
Canada, put your maple leaves up.
But otherwise, I think we try to make songs different.
Oh, we certainly do. We talk about songs, talk about their lyrics, talk about what makes them weird. And then we're like, what if this was a different song entirely?
So here's a new idea for that song.
Ooh, okay.
And then, you know, that's our show.
I thought you were, I was like, oh, what song? I was immediately
intrigued. You want me to do one on the fly?
I thought you were
okay,
gonna.
Okay, what if My Heart Will Go On was actually My Heart Won't Go On, because you're dead now, and my heart died with you.
Woo! You know him as the co-host of Never Not Funny and the co-founder of A Special Thing Records. Give it up for Matt Belknap! Yeah, it was a good idea. We just gotta move on.
We are running short on time.
For the first time ever, we have a time limit, I guess. No.
Matt, thank you so much for coming.
Oh my gosh, thanks so much for having me. This is a dream come true, guys. I've listened to, I was telling Miel before, I've listened to almost every episode of the show.
God.
Huge fan.
It's so nice.
Yeah, isn't it so nice?
Yeah.
I tell people about it. The way I explain it is like when I try to tell people, oh, this show is so great. It's you're making the songs better. You're like taking songs that are great but have something that just doesn't sit right,
ooh,
and you're making them better.
We try.
Keep going. What else?
What else are we good at?
Ooh, I love this. You're my new favorite guest, I've decided.
Oh my God.
One sentence in and you've won. Okay, Matt, dying to know.
Mm-hmm.
What's your story with Poison?
Poison. By the way, just recently found out that was Kool G Rap, who I love, but I didn't ever put it together.
It's a sample.
And the way I found out is I was listening to Rock the Bells Radio on SiriusXM, which is LL Cool J's like classic rap station, which is amazing.
He's a VJ now?
He does it all.
He's just kind of the figurehead of this station.
Is his hat still like a shark's fin?
I would hope so, yeah.
Deepest Lewis.
It's gotta be. But they played the Kool G Rap song Poison, and I was like, that's where that's from. Oh my God.
It's such a weird, it's like just the one.
Just one
the
word.
Poison, yeah. And the rest of it, I don't know, it's not the same at all.
Apparently it samples two songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's some
lyric
stuff
samples
in there.
Or
the
something.
The other one is a boogie, like, is it Boogie Down Productions or Jimmy by Boogie Down Productions? I have the sample.
I think you're
was
right.
Like,
Jimmy, let me express what now what's in me. Too many people take too many risks. Too many people I see get dissed. Jimmy hats.
It's just one line.
Because you can't trust the big butt.
Right.
There it is.
Not even a sample, just kind of a reference to that,
I
think. Yeah. Well, anyway, my journey with this song began before Demi was born, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
What, 1874?
That's right. Mm. Right around the time that the first season of Rugrats
there
was getting done. Yeah! I can leave now.
You can't see, but Matt just dissolved into liquid and floated away.
Alex Mack
does? That felt so good. Damn.
We also haven't referenced that bit in how long?
Probably since Rugrats started.
4,000 years ago on this very day.
Beautiful.
No, but I remember when this song came out. Like I was in ninth grade and I was, the school I went to ended in ninth grade. It was like, that was, you were the senior at that school if
wait,
you were in ninth grade.
Wait,
weird.
Were you like a senior
school.
Of middle school?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. So middle school was an extra year for you?
Well, it was like a, it was a private school that went from K to nine, and then you were on your own after that. So.
Having a school where the kindergartners are also interacting with the ninth graders seems like a terrible idea with me.
Really bad idea.
That was true in my school too, but only because high school, middle school, and elementary school all shared one cafeteria.
We didn't even have a cafeteria.
Hey!
Bag lunch.
Man.
So wait, go on.
Okay, so I, but so in ninth grade, I, me and a couple of friends of mine would DJ the school dances, which meant like there were no, we didn't have records because we weren't cool. So we would like literally play cassettes.
Oh my God.
Like there were two cassette decks and we were just like crossfade between cassettes. And I remember, so like they, you know, we would buy Ka-singles for the, to DJ the dance. And I think I got the Poison Ka-single for that, for this, for the dance. And,
you took it so seriously.
I was really into it. Yeah. I had to get like,
I am the DJ.
Yeah. We're playing these jams.
I'm going to Sam Goody and I'm getting my Ka-single.
Just to give you like a perspective on that era. It was like Technotronic, which was, I think actually inspired your, the name of your show.
Yeah. I've never heard of it.
And Snap the Power. Remember that song? I got the power.
Oh yeah.
Stuff like that is what like what we would play because that was very dancey. And like when I heard this song, I was just like, yes, you can dance to this.
Oh yeah.
But it was also kind of wild because I was really into to rap, but this was like the first song that I remember that was like a pop song where they're singing, but everything else about it was a rap song.
Yeah.
Like, it might as well have been a rap song.
I found out doing the notes this morning, this is a genre in and of itself, and it is called...
New Jack Swing.
Or Swing Beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had never heard of this before this
morning. I've never heard Swing Beat. New Jack Swing was like, sort of that became like the Jodeci and like the Johnny Gill, like that
kind of
stuff.
I'm still kind of having trouble understanding exactly what makes a song New Jack Swing. It says a hybrid of R&B, hip-hop, and swing. And that it originated from Janet Jackson's album Control.
I think it really started with like Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis like producing that Janet Jackson album and like just having really big hip hop type drums on an otherwise pop or R&B type
swing,
song.
Though?
But then the swing kind of came into it. I think there is a song called New Jack Swing that one of those guys did, and that sort of they just adopted that as the name of the genre. But I never thought of Poison as New Jack Swing as much as it was just like they took a rap beat and they were like, we're going to sing on it. And that was it. That's all they...
It's really just like R&B you can really dance to.
Yeah.
Well, it says other songs in this genre are I Want to Sex You Up, Remember the Time, This Is How We Do It, and Baby, Baby, Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess it's just truly like R&B that is not so much like slow and sensual as it is like...
What, upbeat R&B?
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, you guys don't, you're
R&B.
I'm sorry to be the old guy. Like, I'm going to be the old guy all day.
No, we need one.
It's fine.
We need one.
But, like, before 1990, R&B was, like, Luther Vandross and, like, Anita Baker. Like, yeah. It was
pretty... Well, I thought Run-DMC was 80s.
Yeah, but Run-DMC was just rap.
Yeah, they aren't R&B.
I don't know the difference between R&B and rap.
What?
I'm realizing right now I don't know the difference.
Well, rap is when people are rapping, right?
And R&B is when there's rhythm and blues.
They're singing. They're just... And that's
I'm
what's
sorry,
crazy.
I don't understand. You're going to have to explain this.
That's what's crazy is that you, like, people your age, like, that there is no difference, which is great. But before 1990, there was a huge divide between, like, rap
there
was...
There were wars, man.
Yeah, like, people didn't like... Like, R&B people were like, ugh, rap is, like... They didn't like it because it was sort of, like, creeping in on their territory.
Like Tupac and Biggie.
Listen, these are all, like, stories I've heard that I don't fully know about.
Matt, don't you just hate us being the old guys in the room?
I'm from Ireland. I'm sorry.
Fair.
But you've heard Luther Vandross and like...
Sure.
He's my Unpunchable today.
Oh, snap.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Okay, wait. So like my reference here would be like, would we say Brian McKnight is R&B?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that's what R&B is.
But he came in that after this song and a lot of... And Montel Jordan
like
and those
wave.
Other guys sort of pushed the two things together. So I think there is some hip-hop... Elements to Brian McKnight, probably.
Boo doo doo, yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I mean,
started back.
I'm trying to think what else. What else would be considered R&B in the 80s? It was not cool. It didn't sound like to me. I thought it was the like some of the lamest music because there was no. It didn't hit at all. Like it was just very soft. It would almost be like adult contemporary.
Yeah.
But with black artists singing
on
it.
See, but that's... Okay, listen, I have a question, and I might expose myself as a fucking ignorant ass white bitch right now, but I have been to, like, Amoeba Records, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have a section that's like R&B, and in there will be like Usher. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Usher's okay, R&B. Sure. Yeah. But at the same time, are we not maybe like culturally condensing black artists into much broader categories? Whereas if we weren't being like, oh, but for black people, it would otherwise just be like pop music or something.
Totally. Yes. And I think that's why people like refer to like white artists doing R&B as like blue-eyed soul sometimes. Exactly. Which is like,
ew,
insane.
That's a term?
Oh, yeah. Sure is.
Ew. Yeah. Is that what like Michael McDonald is?
Yep. Or like Robin Thicke.
This is some like White Walker R&B.
Which is crazy because it's not even like, oh, they have blue eyes. It's like, no, they're just white.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's so confusing to me.
But I do think it's like sometimes like with Usher, it's kind of like, well, yeah is a pop song, but so many of his things are like,
yeah,
it's sensual. 7 o'clock on the dot.
That's R&B,
but isn't that just a slow jam? I don't know.
But slow jams are R&B. Yeah. Okay. I feel like Boyz II Men is R&B, and mm-hmm. like the more poppy things that Usher does, or like even No Diggity, that's like closer to rap. Although it's
or
still,
is that fucking New Jack Swing?
It might be New Jack Swing. I want to say if you can do the Running Man to it, it's New Jack Swing.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I like
when
this
you hear
metric.
The drums on Poison, that is a New Jack Swing element. Like, you hear those drums on a lot of songs. Like, Bobby Brown, like, you know, My Prerogative, Don't Be Cruel, that whole era. That was sort of the beginning of New Jack Swing because it had that incredibly loud, painfully loud drum kick that was just like, why is that so high?
So intense. blasting my eardrums.
But yeah, you're talking about something kind of interesting is that, obviously the record industry historically has been incredibly racist. And like they used to, like Lionel Richie was R&B, but like that dude was making country songs, you know,
right.
Like he was literally making country music at certain points. And it was just like, nah, that's R&B because he was in the Commodores. So that's R&B.
And it's exhausting.
Yeah, it's terrible. But that's why we have these arbitrary. But like what's cool to me is that you guys didn't have to deal with that separation. It's just like everything sort of merged in the 90s. Everything kind of merged into the sound of modern pop, which is very heavily hip hop influenced.
Yeah.
And there's no, it is confusing to understand what the difference between all those things are. But for me growing up, it was just like, no, if it had a beat like that, that's basically hip hop. And, but then if someone's singing on it, that's what was weird at the time. It was like, no one had ever taken a beat like that and then just sung on it. And there's a little bit of rapping in the song, but basically they're singing. So it was like, so it is pop. And I think they were very smart about like, they saw that they could do well on the charts doing a rap song without the rap. Like they were like, well, this is like, cause they were from New Edition. Everybody knew them. So it was like, we'll get on the pop charts if we just sing on this, but we're going to give kids the sound that they like, which at that time was this like hip hop sound.
Right. And genre division wise, I feel like one helpful distinction is that rap is very specific. Hip hop is not specific. Like Beyonce is hip hop.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
She's a pop star.
Yes, but I feel like when her music leans more into like the sort of like rap beat wise or production wise, that is hip hop.
And same with like Mary J. Blige. Like Mary J. Blige was one of the first people I remember being like, oh, this woman's singing, but this is hip hop.
Yeah.
Okay, and so do we do the same thing for white artists then?
I think
if Miley Cyrus is like, la dee da da dee, we like to party. Are we like, oh, now this is hip hop?
That's just called appropriation.
I guess that is when the line becomes like, huh, what makes this not hip hop? But I don't know.
My question is this more helpful to have like an extra set of rules for black artists, or like is that giving them, you know, their own space, or is that maybe just like policing unnecessarily? I don't know. I'm confused by all of it.
I don't know because in my head it doesn't like just. Like, the distinction of something being hip-hop doesn't necessarily classify it in a way that is helpful or harmful. Mm-hmm. But it also, I'm like, did that come from black artists or did it come from white people being like, oh, it's hip-hop?
We don't know how to define this.
Right.
I think initially it was the record industry trying to sort of keep, sounds horrible, but keep black artists in their place. Yeah. But ironically, that sound took over all of pop music. So
isn't it the most
jokes on you, record industry?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Recently, rap became the most popular genre, right?
Yeah.
Fucking about time. Okay, here's what I want to say. The band is Belle Biv DeVoe.
Hell yeah. That's funny on its own.
It's very funny. I did not realize that their names are Ricky Bell, Michael Bivins, and Ronnie DeVoe.
Hell yeah, it is.
Yes.
It's so funny.
And
that's the other thing. At the time when that came out, I was like, this is funny. Like, why would you call yourselves that?
It's so funny. DeVoe. It's the three you don't know from New Edition.
The three least talented, arguably least attractive members of New Edition.
Come on, Belle Biv DeVoe. They deserve better.
Ricky Bell's all right, but the other two guys are funny looking.
Oh, so am I. Peaked at number 3 for 4 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100, became one of the most successful singles of 1990.
Yeah. Damn.
It popped the fuck off.
It did.
Yeah.
It was written and produced, and this gets a little hairy because kind of per our previous conversation, it's very hard to look back at songs pre, like, 1995, especially in hip-hop, rap, R&B genres, and know who wrote what, because a lot of people were ghostwriting, and they weren't properly credited.
Yeah.
So from what I can understand from Wikipedia, the song was written and produced by Kwame?
Kwame was a rapper who started when he was, like, 16 years old. He, like, made an album, and it was, like, successful. They played it on MTV and everything, or they played one of the songs on there. And I never knew, until I was looking at this, too, I never knew that he co-wrote this song.
Well, I looked into it more because I couldn't figure out exactly what he did, and I think he ghost-wrote one verse.
Oh, he probably wrote one of the raps.
So crazy how little you can do to get a credit on.
I don't even know if they used what he wrote.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that you're going to love, Demi. Kwame co-produced Will Smith's Switch.
Demi
loves this song.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
Wait, second fact I think you might love even more. He's Vin Diesel's cousin.
What?
Demi came!
What?
I didn't know that. Oh my God.
He knows Mark? Sinclair?
Yeah, dog. Okay, the other guy I think maybe more famously involved is Dr. Freeze, a.k.a. Elliot Strange.
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yep, from Batman and Robin.
Here's a very chill beat for you.
I guess that he had originally planned to feature the song on his own album. He wrote it for himself. But then when Bell Biv DeVoe heard it, they wanted it. And he was like, all right, fuck it.
They called dibs. And he was like, shit.
No, he says, when the guys heard it, they went nuts. I didn't think that record was going to be that big because it was a personal love letter to my ex-girlfriend at the time.
What?
He says, it wasn't a song. It was just a letter.
Okay, just remember that when you listen to the lyrics of this song.
Oh, no.
Just think about this being sent to a woman. It is crazy. It is. Totally, like, no one should have ever, you should never write this down, you should never say it to another person, let alone a woman.
Oh, it's so funny. Okay, the last thing I'll say, I just thought this was so interesting, and again, it speaks to this, like, cross-genre thing that I think is far more organic than this weird compartmentalizing we try to put on artists. The guy says, when I made Poison, I was studying Kraftwerk. That German band.
Yeah.
When I heard Kraftwerk's Trans Europe Express album and their Numbers record, it made me want to change my whole style and approach to music. It gave me the musical inspiration to do Poison. I'm also mixed with Black and Puerto Rican. I had uncles that played with big Latin bands like Tito Puente and Mongo Santa Maria. You could hear the Latin elements in Poison. I wanted to bring the Latin element into that record by using, I don't know how to say this instrument, timbales?
Okay.
Sure.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah, that sounds right.
You're asking the wrong people.
Someone's screaming at the radio.
Timbaland.
When you hear them say Poison at the end of the record, that came from Kraftwerk. It brought a futuristic element to the track. I didn't want it to be a regular R&B record.
That Poison.
You think that's influenced by Kraftwerk?
That you just blew my mind.
Right?
That this song seems so simple to me. Like it seems like literally a guy with an 808 drum machine was just like, "What does this button do?" And then the song was over. It was like, "I did it." It's so basic, but like Kraftwerk was big in early hip hop. Like I think Afrika Bambaataa sampled him, and like the hip hop scene loved that sound because you could breakdance to it. I think, and it sort of had that electro feel that some strains of early hip hop really followed, that electro sound, like that future sound.
I kind of wish I was alive during that just so I could have watched that evolution.
I was too young to get, I only got into it like in the early 80s when I was like, when I saw Beat Street and like stuff like that. That's when I became obsessed with
I think you mean hip-hop. Sing Street.
I think you mean Step Up to the Streets.
The millennials just ruin everything. Okay, with that said, should we get into it?
Oh, we got to. I want to hear those beats.
Yeah, Spider-Man and freezing full effect. You ready, Ron? I'm ready. You ready, Dave?
I'm ready, Slick. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Take it down.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
What the? That's two songs in one, right?
That is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it takes such a hard tonal shift after the drum beat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a portion, and then the music comes in. You're like, whoa, what just happened?
It's kind of like the drum beat comes in, and then they're just like, all right, now calm down. Let them talk a little bit.
Let it breathe.
Yeah.
Also, is this not the predecessor to Michelle? Can you handle this?
Oh, yeah.
Beyonce, can you handle this?
This is their own Charlie's Angels.
I never knew that he was saying Spider-Man and Dr. Freeze.
Yeah.
I thought he was saying Spot-A-Man and Mr. Freeze.
Oh, Spot-A-Man, like, look at that guy and freeze. Pause.
Freeze.
Spider-Man, I tried to research this as well. Again, it's so hard to find references on this stuff, but I think he also produced or at one point was involved. Producer on it.
Yeah. Damn, or maybe Peter Parker was so busy.
Spider-Man with a Y. Relax.
It was after he got fired from the Daily Bugle. He was like, I need a new direction.
I need a thing.
I'm gonna get into hip hop.
You ready, Ron?
I'm ready, Slick. Are you?
Those drums are so fucking loud. What is that sound?
It is like a drum machine out of control. I think you guys were talking about I forget what episode you guys were talking about. Another song where you can identify it from the first 1 second.
Oh yeah.
And this song is like that for me. When I hear I'm like, poison.
Recently on Sister Podcast, All Fantasy Everything, they were doing a draft of like songs that get a dance floor start at a wedding, and this is absolutely one to me. If I hear this, I'm like, fucking, I'm running there.
Totally. Oh, I think you hear that first beat, and you're like, fuck.
You just
want to be on the dance floor for that girl. Warn you.
And you know the move I always think of. I want to believe it's in
scrubs.
The
scrubs.
Well, that too. But that thing where it's like three people standing in a line and they do the circular thing with the shoulder.
Yeah, you like move your head in a circle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you split out into three people and do a dance.
Yeah. Did you guys watch the video for this?
I don't.
Oh God, check it out.
Really? Okay.
They've got a crew of professional dancers doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then Ronnie, whatever the three guys, Ricky, Michael and Ronnie are doing their version of, like, they're not good dancers. They're trying to do sort of like a synchronized thing, and it's mostly just kind of like the kick out running man. Like, it's so weird.
Why even try?
I mean, I guess now that I think about it, New Edition did do a lot of dancing when they were performing. Yeah. Like, they were from that school of like Jackson 5 and like all those groups that would just get out there and sing and do like choreographed
routines. I was gonna say, what's it called? New Kids on the Block.
Oh, yeah.
Which
same
were contemporaries
band.
Of them. They're both from Boston. New Edition and New Kids are both from Boston. They were both discovered by a guy named Maurice Starr.
Whoa.
Who was like a Svengali type guy who put together boy bands. And that was New Kids on the Block was the idea, very much the idea of like, what if New Edition was white?
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I'm so glad you're here, all this information. I've never felt
crazy,
stupider
right?
on my podcast. Break it down.
I also love the when the horns blast on those like first four beats. Like it feels like we were all doing it, but it's like you gotta like hit a pose.
Yeah.
Oh, it's literally an anthem for voguing.
Oh yeah.
That is the only reason this song exists.
My pose was my ears hurt.
Oh, it's too loud.
Yeah.
All right. He goes on to.
Girl, I must warn you. I sense something strange in my mind. Yo, situation is. Let's kill it cause we're running out of time.
I've never noticed that like faux vocal descending. That like keyboard.
Yeah.
It's
so
weird.
Cool. It reminds me of like a Jim Henson soundtrack.
I really wanted to find the stems for this, not only because I'm like, how many layers are there to this a cappella, but like there's so many like sounds that just sort of pop in for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if that's like the Kraftwerk influence?
Yeah. It feels like also the slow rise.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love a scoop.
It is deceptively complex. Like, it's so weird. Like I said, I always thought this song was really, really kind of dumb, but there's a lot going on. And that's what weird. Like, when I was emailing you about it, I kind of feel like it's undeniable. Like, the sound of the song is so good, but then the lyrics are so bad.
I'll be honest, I don't really know what the lyrics are.
I only know a few of them. There's, like, one lyric in particular that I'm like, why that? But then the chorus even just being like, never trust a big butt and a smile. I'm like, okay.
I mean, that's iconic in its stupidity.
Tag me.
Okay, so this is, girl, I must warn you. I sense something strange in my mind. Situation is serious. Let's cure it because we're running out of time.
Now, remember, this was written to a girlfriend.
Yeah.
What was he trying to say?
Oh, God. I don't know, but I already am like the emotional labor on her end to have to read this letter.
Because, like, my basic take on the song is that it's one of those really embarrassing. Like, young men often go this route with women where, like, you know what? They're just evil.
Yeah.
They're all evil. Mm. And, like, because they got, like, someone broke up with them one time. They're, they're all bad. And so, like, it feels like that's the point of the song. But the fact that he was writing this to a girlfriend, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?
What reaction was he hoping for?
I don't know.
She'd be like, you know what? You're right. Women are trash.
Yeah, you're right. I need to cure this situation. So is this, like, a breakup letter?
Okay, so what does he say? Girl, I must warn you.
I sense something strange in my mind.
Oh, that's the Spider-Man. It's the spider sense.
I was
going to
say, this feels very mystical.
My hairs are tingling on my arm.
I sense something strange. I'm like, okay, are we like in like Witches of Eastwick? What's happening?
There's a wind coming.
Something strange. I think the strange thing, what he senses, is that he's about to get dumped.
Yeah.
It's like, something bad's coming.
You've been kind of reclusive emotionally.
And then, situation is serious. Let's cure it because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Is it like an escape room?
Yeah. We got 3 minutes to cure this.
It's like that one we did where we had to get the like serum to stop the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. Or it's he's like, look, I have to catch a flight in 3 minutes, but I want to be single when I land. So let's do this now.
I'm thinking that she hasn't called him back in like 3 weeks. And he's like, I got to write this letter. But he writes it from the perspective of like, something seems fishy here. Like he's not picking up on the clues that she's basically ghosting him.
Yeah.
Or even like that it sounds almost as if he's some kind of authority figure. He's like, listen, I have to warn you.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Like as if she's in danger. It's like, no, you're the one who's getting dumped.
It's like this crazy Jedi mind trick.
I also wonder, just because the middle part where it's like, that girl is poison, is he trying to say like, I gotta tell you, I feel like there's a girl who's been hanging around me and she might be trying
to infiltrate this thing. That's interesting. So there's more than one girl. There's the girl he's talking to.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. I don't know these words yet.
Well, of course, that girl is poison. I'm like, why? Who is he? If this is to a girl and he's saying that girl.
Just play
that
the next makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it's a ways away, but. I love that harmony every time.
Check it out.
Did you hear the way he said heart? It's like just at the bottom of his range.
Yeah.
They're not good singers, you guys. That's one of the other funny things about this song is this was from before you had to be great to get a record deal. Like,
okay. You don't now either. Well, there was a brief window where you did.
Like there was a stretch of time where you wouldn't hear bad singing on songs. But then these guys, and yeah, you're right. I kind of think now that's coming back a little bit weirdly.
Taylor Swift can't sing. Fight me.
Yeah. Oh, I'm stepping out of this one.
Fight me.
Fight me.
Rihanna couldn't sing when she started.
Fight me out.
Now she can.
Fight me out.
I've heard you mention Taylor Swift before, and I was kind of tempted to say, let's do a Taylor Swift song, because I agree with you, and yet I also love Taylor Swift.
Fight me out, Matt.
I like Taylor Swift.
It's so
catchy. I just don't think she can sing very well.
Yeah, yeah. She's.
I'm not getting into a fight with the Swifties. Not in album cycle time. I can't afford this.
I'm only talking from a technical perspective.
Right.
I don't know shit about shit.
But we can't get into it now. That's a whole thing.
Come back for our Shake It Off episode where I will also be like, I'm not saying anything
the whole time.
Yeah.
It's oh so beautiful.
Beautiful.
Relationships.
Is that like a semicolon? Relationships.
Yeah.
Relationships. And then M-. They seem from the start.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like Yoda. It's like a Yoda line.
Relationships, they seem from the start.
So you're saying relationships seem beautiful from the beginning.
Yeah.
But then it's so deadly when love is not together from the heart. So what, unrequited love?
That's not a good sentence, guys.
I'm trying to understand it.
It's clearly like they were like, we got to sync this up to the rhyme of it all.
Yeah. But what is he? It sounds like he's saying, I like you and you don't like me. This is a problem.
I think he was like, at first I had hope and now I do not.
Right.
Okay.
But it's like he's putting it on her. It's like, we got a real problem here, honey. You don't seem to like me.
And this relationship can't thrive. Yeah. She's like, I don't care.
Why don't you understand? I'm just not, but this is, we're not dating.
It's a very deadly thing when we don't like each other the same amount.
It's like when someone's like, hey, you don't know what you're missing. And it's like, well, here's the thing. I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
Right.
Because I don't like you.
Yeah.
It's like he's trying to intellectualize the fact that she has no feelings for him. What the hell, dude?
He's like, let me write this into prose and then maybe you can see where I'm coming from.
it's really embarrassing.
It's deceptive though, because the beat goes and then these
and
words
that,
are like
that slinkiness, that I like that.
It does sound like you hear someone singing it in an alley and you're like, oh, what's that? You're enchanted.
Oh, it is. Yes, it's very singing cats luring you into
life. Exactly.
Beautiful.
And you don't know if you should trust them or not, but you kind of want to.
Yeah. It's like your eyes turn into those spinning circles and you're just being pulled towards them.
Which I think is great. That's what makes the song work to me, is that that's kind of very, very smooth and sultry. And then the beat is so rough and hard and loud. And the juxtaposition of those two very different sounds and ideas musically is just perfect together. I don't think anyone had ever figured out, like, you can do that. You can take a hard beat and a soft voice, not even voice, but just like a soft, like, and like that's the combination of those is kind of irresistible.
I agree completely. I do feel like I want to say this reminds me of like a cool Mr. Slugworth.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. This is a guy coming to you in an alley being like, I got an offer for you, but also, you should know, it's all so deadly.
Oh, yeah, deadly.
It also, that just talking about that like weird like rah, rah, like that reminds me of, have you guys ever been to the Hogwarts area of Universal Studios? There's like, they do, and I don't really know Harry Potter very well, so I don't get this, but my daughter loves it. They have these frogs that do like a cappella. Is that something in Harry Potter?
The chocolate frogs. I don't know about the a cappella frogs.
Yeah, I don't.
There are these frogs, and they, basically these women come out and they have like these frog puppets, and they're just like rah, 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 and they do this crazy like pentatonic.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my
do they sing songs you know?
No, he sings a cappella arrangements.
No, it's like it's not even words. I don't think it's just noises.
Maybe that's, it's like so the Harry Potter weird theme, like ba 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 ba.
I think they might do that.
All the different areas of Universal Studios, I'm realizing they just have like the characters singing songs that you know in different ways.
Yeah,
because like they have the Minions singing like YMCA and things, where it's like,
do they do that in the movie?
I mean, you're asking the wrong person. I can ask my dad.
I thought you were into Minions.
No, I'm into the idea that everyone hates the Minions, and I think it's funny.
Demi, that's despicable.
Oh, despicable shit. Me.
I think they do. I think in the movies, they maybe I'm wrong, but that does seem like something the Minions would do.
Yeah, I don't remember the singing frogs in Harry Potter.
Absolutely not.
Seems Harry like Frogger. Can you, hit the next clip so we don't? So that's the last joke that gets said.
I'm sorry. It's taken a while to load for some reason.
The computer
crashed.
Sorry, Miel. We're going to have to talk about that joke for a few minutes.
Miel, go ahead and just.
No, please hit the next clip.
Now let's really get into Harry Frogger.
It's booting up. No, I see the boot bar. What are you saying about Harry Frogger?
So did you mean like the arcade game Frogger, but Harry?
And is it hair?
Toad Lamort.
No.
Oh, computer crashed again. That's so crazy.
Oh, boy. You know what? Actually, this is the only thing. This is the podcast is just going to be that joke repeated for 40
minutes. You know what? I'm going to go get the record and we'll play it. You talk for a bit about what you just did.
Tadpole.
All right, I'm going to play it now.
Okay.
Wrong move, you're dead.
I've never noticed that.
That's great.
Apparently, there was a conspiracy that he wasn't saying wrong move, you're dead. He was saying Ronnie Moore, you're dead.
Like naming a specific person.
Yes. Listen to why. Do you remember the thing? I can tell you because I just found this out
please.
Too. I never, this again, we didn't have Wikipedia when we were in middle school, so I didn't know what any of the stuff. But apparently there was a football player at Syracuse named, what was it?
Ronnie Moore.
Yeah.
Rob.
Yeah. And he got drafted by the Jets. Apparently he stole Michael Bivins' girlfriend. And so Biv was like, Ronnie Moore, you're dead.
Did he actually... You're saying that did he actually date his ex or people? This was the conspiracy theory.
I assume that part is true.
Yeah,
but the not true part is that he's saying that in the song.
And apparently,
oh, that's so funny.
So on Genius, it says the story is apocryphal at best, which I agree. But it says this is why Biv is wearing Syracuse gear in the video.
Yeah.
So people like really wove a web.
Yeah, here. This is the original. Paul is dead. Rob Moore is dead.
I think that. Maybe he didn't even steal his girlfriend. Maybe none of it is true.
Someone literally just heard Rob Moore. Wait, kind of sounds like that
player?
Football player.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, he's wearing a Syracuse jacket.
Isn't that funny to reflect on the times pre-fact-checking when people were like, if you play Dark Side of the Moon, it perfectly syncs with fucking Wizard of Oz. Yeah. And everyone was like, gotta try it to find out.
So many things, just like when Google came around, people were like, all right, okay, that was a lie.
Let's settle this once and for all. Yeah. Phil Collins did not watch someone die.
No. Well, he might have.
He did, but that's not what that song's about. Yeah. It's an unrelated event.
Unrelated.
That's actually one of his other hits.
Yeah, that was what inspired Tarzan. I don't know.
You'll be in my heart about the person he watched die.
Yeah,
exactly. I watch you die, I'm going to think you will be in my heart.
I'm mistaken. It was Trash the Camp.
He was just like, this reminds me of boom. Yeah, that's it.
That's what you sounded like when you were dying.
I got to say, this fucking hook. book is fantastic.
It really is.
I just love everything about it other than what he's saying.
Sure, yeah.
But please, like, Miel, you're like a good singer and everything, and I don't know anything about singing. Is that guy good at singing? Because I think it's either good or terrible.
Yeah. I think it's totally fine.
It is.
What I'll give him credit for is that it's pretty high for chest range.
It sounds
range.
Like it's not in his range.
Oh, in doing this part of the punch up, I had to sing it low and pitch it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I mean, for me, I have like a high range as like a, you know, smaller vocal cords.
Sure.
It's driving me out of my
Easy.
Mind. Like, it's still a little bit on the cusp in my break.
Yeah.
I can only imagine if my real voice was weird on here, that would be like right on a break. So the fact that he is able to get the notes at all is kind of impressive.
I feel like he has a high voice. Like, that's what
does he? Yeah. Maybe he just has a high range.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's to me, it sounds like he's really forcing it, like pushing.
It's driving me.
Well, here's the thing, little fun fact, voice stuff. Don't yell at me if you're a music person. If you have a note that's hard to hit, maybe it's a little bit above your range, oftentimes a tool you can use to get it is by getting fucking louder.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a good technique because you're not using your voice in the safest way.
Right.
Some people will call it pulling chest. So that's like, okay, it'd be like if I was like, oh, the song's so high. Okay, if I was like, cause we belong together, yeah, like, it's not in my range, right? It sounds like shit. Sounds like I'm yelling. I couldn't sing that quietly.
Right, right.
Because I don't have control in that part of my voice. So possibly he's just fucking yelling it because he's trying to hit a note that's a little too high for him.
He's standing like a foot away from the mic.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't hate it, but I definitely think, I don't know that that's technically good.
It was not very smooth.
Yeah.
I'll say that. And there's not really any flourishes on it.
Right.
It's pretty straight.
Maybe that's what they were going for, too. It was just like, we're just going to rip this
Let
song.
Let the words speak our feelings.
Which they don't, because I think the words here are confusing.
It's driving me out of my mind. That's why it's hard for me to find. Can't get it out of my head. Miss her, kiss her, love her.
Wrong movie, you did.
That girl is poison.
It sounds like he's projecting a lot of his own problems onto this woman. It's like, why is she poisoned? If you're just like, you're obsessed with her and she doesn't seem to care about you, that's not her problem. That's your problem.
Is that something men do?
What?
Well,
that's crazy.
I don't know about that.
Maybe in this fantasy world of Belle Biv DeVoe.
What is the it here?
I think the feelings he has are, that's the it, maybe.
But then what's hard for him to find?
Yeah.
The words. I think the words are hard for him to find.
Okay, so the feelings are making him feel...
You have to plug a lot into this to figure it out.
You're the expert now. We're all defaulting to you.
I'm totally guessing.
The miss her, kiss her, love her part, is that him saying that it's like, oh, he hates that he is more into this relationship than she is?
Maybe that's what it is. It's like it's casual to her, but to him, he's like, I just miss you every second we're not together.
This guy wrote a letter to a person he had one date with.
I think you're right. Probably. I do. I just skipped ahead in the lyrics, and I do think that we can safely say this is about a girl that just didn't like him back.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, this is bullshit.
But then, okay, we don't need to jump ahead, but then he gets into this, like, the gold digging argument, which is weird. I don't know what that has
I
to do with it.
I think that's a really cool way of hitting on someone, and then when they rebuff you, being like, well, actually, you're fucking ugly.
Right.
It's a really cool technique.
Or it's just that a lot of times songs like this will have one idea in the singing part, and then the rap part is, like, a totally different idea.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't talk. They didn't like, no, this doesn't make any sense for this. Don't worry about it. It sounds good. And they're just like, let's go with it. She's a gold digger. That's why.
They each just project their own idea of like what I hate about women into it.
He's like, oh, you were talking about a girl who didn't like it? Well, listen to this. This other situation.
Yeah. What about you guys?
That's not what we're talking about.
They yell at me sometimes. All right. You do it first.
What about when they look too hot and then they go out with someone else?
Yeah.
Even though it's just a friend.
And when they got big butts and smiles.
Ugh, how dare
That's
they?
That's an unlikely combination in a trustworthy woman.
That's, we didn't get to the
no.
big
no,
butts
we have not.
Okay. Let's not delay any longer. Though.
Oh,
this
is
so good.
That girl is
Oh, wow, just empty here.
Oh, yeah. Weird, right?
If I were you, I'd say for caution.
What?
Yeah, that's another one of my favorite parts. I love when they try to squeeze too many syllables into a little smooth part, like precaution. Like, no, that doesn't fit there. What are you doing?
If I were you, I'd take precaution.
Why even say Just say cautious.
Yeah,
cautious.
Good call.
I'd be that cautious.
I don't know.
That would have worked too.
Look at this—the weirdest way to say that sentence.
Yeah.
If I were you, I would take precaution.
If I were you, I would be careful.
Careful.
Already, we punched it up.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, never trust a big butt and a smile is so iconic and so not theirs. Funny. That drives me nuts that's a sample.
Yeah.
It's also like KRS-One from Boogie Down Productions was like a super political, conscious rapper. I don't know. I would have to go back and look at that song more closely to understand if he was kind of being weirdly misogynistic. But he might have been doing it more as a commentary on the way other people think. These guys clearly like, no, that's right. Yeah. You should not trust a big button and smile.
You guys can see Fight Club and go like, yeah, we should burn down everything.
Yeah.
I feel like it maybe walked so Oakland face with LA face with a booty could run.
Yeah.
Can I try that again? I think maybe it walked. No, I'm done. I'm not trying to get
LA's smile with an Oakland big butt.
Isn't that kind of feel like the same sentiment?
Yes.
Yeah, although they're saying like,
it's good.
Don't do that.
Yeah. And then Sir Mix-a-Lot was like, no, we should do this.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. I give these guys credit for bringing the big butt conversation to the mainstream, because that was not a conversation that we were having on Top 40 at the time. It was just like that concept. And then Sir Mix-a-Lot, like you said, Sir Mix-a-Lot took it to a totally different level. Yeah. But I don't know that these guys are very clear about what they actually feel about the big butt.
They don't trust them.
They're precautious.
Yeah.
And my question is, if you say you don't trust a butt, immediately I think you're afraid it's going to fart on you.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Or maybe it's like a
happened.
Hips don't lie type deal where it's like, I know they will.
Yeah.
The hips lied.
Yeah.
That's still so fucking funny.
It is
well,
funny.
You can't
Again,
trust the hips.
I do think this is in the same family as the hips that lie.
Yeah. They're all going to shard on you.
Do you think the butt's smiling?
Okay, you know what
is
I heard?
The smile on the butt.
Mm.
This is crazy and totally irrelevant. I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
I heard once on a documentary I was watching that we don't exactly know, like evolutionary scientists can't tell us why we smile.
Oh, yeah, because they were saying that, well, babies smile and blind people who have never had sight smile. So
the theory, one of the theories, is that when we evolved from crawling on all fours to standing up, we could no longer see each other's genitals. And so that smiling like mimes a vagina? I don't know.
Wait.
It's crazy. So maybe that's why you don't trust the butt.
Never trust the back or the front.
Huh.
Only the mouth.
My big problem with that is the vertical versus horizontal. I think that's
maybe
confusing.
Maybe our genitals changed shape when we stood up. I don't know.
No, yeah,
maybe.
Once we stood, that shit was like, all right, rotate 90.
If only we could find a perfectly preserved, like Jurassic Park, the resin.
Yes.
But just a severed genital.
Now I want to see a reboot of Jurassic Park where they bring the dinosaurs back alive and just Dr. Ian Malcolm's like, let's check its vagina. Not the entire
Oh my god,
plot.
It's horizontal.
It's horizontal. It's the only reason he's brought it back for like the fourth time.
That should be the fourth Jurassic World.
Why are you doing this again? We haven't checked the vagina.
The first one is like, they came back. The island. The island's corrupt. Oh no, now they're on the mainland. Oh no, now they're in like a Japanese sex store. They're everywhere.
It's worrisome. That girl is poison.
Poison.
Never trust a big butt and vagina. No, it doesn't quite work.
It still feels like we haven't learned what she's done for her to be poisoned.
No.
It's just like
all we know is that this guy was writing. Well, we know that he's writing a letter from the Wikipedia, but we know that this guy was trying to tell a woman something about it, his feelings, and he's a little nervous. Something's not right. Something feels a little off.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I think I figured it out. You're poisoned.
You're poisoned.
We're having a hard time on this podcast, and maybe this is our song selection. Finding songs written by straight men that express any kind of real vulnerability that's not extremely coded and hard to read.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have not found too many so far.
It's just Pony.
Just Pony.
Just Pony.
Pony was solid.
Well, no, even then it's like, what? Are you a pony or are you not?
What's the pony?
Well, that's just bad. He wasn't good at metaphors or whatever.
Right.
But like
I will not have this slander on our podcast.
His heart was in the right place, I think.
Right. On the floor. Repeatedly. All right.
If I were you, I'd take a caution before I step to meet my girl. You know, cause in some caution,
what?
You think she's the best thing in the world. She's so
okay.
Whoa.
He's not talking to her anymore.
No.
Now he's talking to his boys, like, watch out.
I must warn
Why the shift? So did something happen between the first verse and the second verse that now he's like, look out, guys. I just had a close encounter with a werewolf.
Maybe it's like when he said, girl, I must warn you, it was like, girl, I must warn you. Like, he's just saying, he's exclaiming that there's a girl, and now he's turning to his boy. He's like, oh, fellas, yeah. I gotta warn you.
Like, he saw her in the distance. Girl!
Yeah.
Guys, I gotta warn you.
I gotta warn you.
Well, he was in first and second person until Miss Her Kiss Her Lover. No.
Yeah.
That was when he switched. And now he's fully talking about...
That girl is poison.
And now he's talking to a man, presumably, if I were you, before I start to meet a fly girl. You know?
Well, I guess, no, Miss Her Kiss Her Lover, because it's like, if he's talking about the girl, then the her is
miss
the
you.
Shift. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
I know,
so weird.
Weird. And now he's telling, before I meet a fly girl.
Yeah.
You know?
This is like that, what is it, Nicholas, fucking Fred Armisen's character from SNL Weekend Update, where he like tries to tell a story and he keeps getting derailed.
Yeah.
Like, because he's like, if I were you, I'd take precaution. You know, before I start to meet a fly girl, well, because in some portions, like, he never actually finishes a fucking sentence.
Why does he say portions? That's so creepy.
Is that a butt reference?
I don't know, but it sounds like he's dissecting our human body.
Yeah. It feels like that's just to rhyme with precaution, but then it's like, well, why even use
those
precaution?
Don't rhyme.
Yeah, neither word works.
Caution, portion. Look, with a Boston accent, it all rhymes.
Poison, portion, caution. I feel
caution,
like I'm having a
portion.
Stroke.
20 portions, guys, remember?
On car plot.
Yeah. You'll think she's the best thing in the world. I think he's saying her butt. When you look at that butt, you're like, wow, she's got to be great.
The butt is the thing that's hypnotizing him in that alleyway.
I think so, yeah.
And then she's so fly. So twice he's described her and twice he's said she's fly. Yeah.
It's really the only thing he said about her that he likes.
She's so fly.
Yeah.
That she'll drive you right out of your mind and, get this, steal your heart when you're blind.
So is she going to blind you too?
Yeah, I guess when you're out of your
mind.
She
throws sand in your eyes and then she carves your heart out, Indiana Jones style.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. I thought the blindness was a result of losing your mind. Like, that's
okay.
Just comes along.
No, you're right. You're right.
It's
so
like
first,
hysterical blindness.
She's like Hannibal Lecter. She makes you go insane. You swallow your own tongue.
You lose sight and you're like, I'm insane and blind now. What happened?
I love these logistics though. First, she'll drive you out of your mind. Then she'll steal your heart when you're blind. This sounds like an urban legend about a monster.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. He also, like, this is like the third time he's referenced his mind and the second time he's referenced driving, being driven out of his mind. But before he said it's, now he's saying she's doing it.
Yeah.
Because then he was still talking to her.
Yeah.
And now he's like, listen, now that she's gone, let's talk some shit.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, the unifying premise of the song based on the title is that a woman is analogous to poison. None of this has to do with being poisoned.
No.
It's all about mental illness or something. So what is, like, there's so many chances that they could have been like, in the laboratory, you mixing the chemical.
You
like
ate the apple.
Or like the arsenic and old lace or something. I don't know what that is. It's an old movie, I think. But yeah, like there's just, like, the analogy has not, there's like cross purposes here with like the central idea of women are poison, or at least this one is. And then this other stuff, or unless the poison makes you insane. Is there a poison that actually doesn't kill you? It just drives you crazy?
Ooh, damn.
The poison is love.
In a way.
Can you please play the next clip? I'm just kidding.
There's a... Beware, she's scheming. She'll make you think you're dreaming. You'll fall in love and you'll be screaming, demon.
Demon!
Okay, you'll be screaming the word demon?
Yes. You'll be going, demon! Demon!
Demon!
There's
demon!
A demon in here!
So you're blind, heartless, think you're asleep, and now you're also screaming.
Yeah.
This rules. I want to meet this woman.
This is absolutely, she's like a...
She's like a succubus? I love her.
Yeah, some sort of like Medusa type figure, but instead of turning you to stone, it's like you will be made insane.
Like, did you see the Vvvitch?
I did see the Vvvitch.
In that movie, I think I was in the wrong because I was like, those bitches are awesome. I like them in the story. And they remind me of this character a little bit.
But by the way,
reminds me of Bird Box.
We don't know what this woman did other than maybe not return a phone call.
It could just be his neighbor.
Yeah. I would love if in those little moments where it's like, you know, it's someone going, what'd she do? And he's like, never mind.
It's driving me.
Let me tell you how it feels, though.
She
I'm not
ate
gonna...
my foot. She'll cut your toes off and then she'll put them in a burrito.
I'm pretty sure she didn't do anything wrong. She probably just like walked away when he tried to talk to her at a club. Like, that's probably what happened.
This is very much the like guy who calls his ex, like all of his exes, crazy. Oof. Like, it's anthem for that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, just in case any of our listeners aren't aware of this yet, if you ever date someone who calls their ex crazy,
run.
Just maybe ask a couple questions.
Yeah.
I think that's a good red flag.
And if they call two of them crazy, it's like, weird coincidence that you dated.
Oh my God, you're like a magnet
crazy.
For crazy
and
people.
If they call three of them crazy, you get half their money legally.
Yeah.
It's a riddle no one knows about.
Oh, wow.
But where's she scheming? Scheming what?
Demons.
Oh, well, they get into that in the rap. Don't worry. They're going to explain what the scheming is
all about.
Okay,
well, let's get to the rap.
Poison, deadly, moving it slow. Looking for a mellow fellow like the Vogue. Getting paid late, so better lay low. Scheming on hot money and the whole shit. The low pro hoe should be cut like an afro. So what you saying, huh? She's winning you, but I know she's a loser. How did you know? Me and a crew used to do her.
No. That's the line that I'm going, what are you talking about? Me and the crew used to do her?
Yeah.
Why does that make her a loser?
Well,
you liked her enough to have sex with her. Maybe you're a fucking loser.
They all had sex with her, and now that's branded her as a loser, which is the weirdest way to
classify. Like she won here.
Yeah.
She fucked you and all your friends.
You sound like
the losers.
Man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why anyone has to lose if people are enjoying sexual relations with each other.
They're kink shaming.
Yeah.
I declare a kink shaming.
Poison, deadly, moving in slow. Looking for a mellow fellow like DeVoe.
Categorically untrue, sir.
No, you're not mellow at all.
Not even a little bit.
I mean, unless you're, are you not, is this the first we're hearing from DeVoe?
Maybe.
The other parts, that's Ricky and Michael, I don't know.
This is DeVoe rapping this part, so he's also saying, looking for a mellow fellow like me.
Okay. No, DeVoe has talked before. He does Situation is Serious. Yeah. He does Cousin Some Portions.
I can't even get into the confusion of three men singing this when it sounds like it's from one man's perspective.
Yeah. Hey, you want to talk about losers? How about three dudes getting together to collectively sing about one woman?
Yeah. Right.
Guys, we got to take this lady down.
She's been scheming. It's
Here's
the only
what
way
I
to
think. What do you guys, can you add anything to my thoughts on the subject? Now that we know, they all did her.
You know what? Actually, this is starting to make so much sense that all of these complaints are so vague and weird and unfounded because only one of them actually knew her.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's not even part of this song.
No.
So they're like, what else? What else? Listen, what do like mean ladies do? Eat your brains? No, that's obvious. That's obvious. Like, they're struggling so hard.
It's very much like two guys who've never been in a relationship but wanting to be on board with their friend's struggles. They're like, yeah, this is terrible. They're like, they come at you with their fangs or something. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Getting paid laid. So better lay low.
Okay, this is where it starts to introduce the concept of a gold digger. Because there's like, now these
guys, she'll come around.
They're successful. They're getting paid and laid. So therefore, you got to lay low because that's what attracts these women.
She is scheming on house money and the whole show.
Yeah.
Okay, but then I'm confused because the low pro ho.
The low pro ho.
She'll be cut like an.
Oh, I think it should be cut like an afro.
I feel like it should be cut like an afro.
A low pro ho, just to, if you guys don't follow early 90s slang, that's a hoe who's not out in the open with her ho-ness. She's low profile. It's a low profile.
Incognito.
Ho.
Yeah. Ooh, there you go.
And
oh, we're still rhyming.
Oh, no.
Stop.
You go.
No. I thought my memories are probably wrong. It says she'll be cut like an afro.
That's what genius says.
I have some problems with the genius lyrics there. I think there are a couple. They're wrong on a couple.
Okay,
fronts.
Yeah. So should be.
I think so, but I don't know.
And what does that mean?
Like
a low pro ho should be cut like an afro.
No, just like should be like,
yeah, get it out of your life.
Yeah, get her out of
like,
here.
Like afros were really uncool at the time. Like everyone had to have a high top fade.
Okay, so, I'm like, thinking cut like ripped.
No,
like she's yoked.
No,
she should be working out more like an afro does.
But you also don't cut an afro off, right?
Well, you shave it with the clippers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you like trim. It's like if he's trying to say you cut it out of your life, I don't feel like we cut afros out of our life.
Well, I think it's just it's just the word cut that they're playing off of, and literally nothing else.
Why you could have been like cut like not pure cocaine. Like you could have used a million references
cut
with
like
the word
I'm pure coke.
So
I'm kind of, it's weird. I'm reminded of some of the attempts at rap by both New Edition and Bobby Brown, because all these guys were friends. They're not good rappers, but they very much seem to love rap and they want to do rap.
Yeah.
But when they try it, it's always kind of embarrassing.
That's how I feel.
I like Macklemore.
Yeah.
Shut
up. I'm kidding.
Fucking
I'm kidding. All right, little Dicky.
Yeah. But yeah, they like, let's go back and listen to what is it? Is it not Don't Be Cruel, but the other Bobby Brown song where I think he does the same rap verse twice because he just can't come up with more than four bars. Like, it's really bad.
Brilliant.
But these guys, they're very much like, I like rap, but they're always talking about like hoes and stuff. Let's do it. And there's just like,
get this low pro ho.
Yeah.
Low pro ho.
Yeah.
Quid like pro quo. That would have been a better rhyme, right?
That quid pro quo should be cut like an afro.
No, quid pro quo, low pro ho. Quid pro quo, low pro ho. Goodbye, crow.
By the way, this could be the part that Kwame contributed to. We don't know. So
thank you for pulling us out of that vortex.
I didn't want to go. I didn't want to join you. That's for sure.
See what you're saying, huh? But she's a winner to you. But I know she's a loser.
How do you know? How?
Me and the crew used to do her. Long pause to let you rest with that.
Also, drop all the music out for this gem. Me and the crew used to do her.
It's like,
don't let anyone misunderstand this part of it. We're going to focus on that.
We had sex.
We all used to have sex with her. It's just
together?
Such a weird...
It sounds like
I think so.
It sounds like together, which, again, just evokes a really bad, like, groupie situation after a concert.
Yeah.
Like, I really am uncomfortable with what was happening here.
And the kind of thing that it's like... That should be more of the – like, that's more of a thing to be talking about. Way more notable.
Group sex?
No, just the idea that it's like – it feels like a lot of their feelings about this woman have come from the fact that they all used to have sex with her. And then I'm like, wait, why are you mentioning that as an aside?
Yeah, that weird to, like, throw in slut-shaming in the 11th hour.
Yeah.
That feels like you could have led with that.
And also just have it be, like, the entire record drops out. So it's the moment in the concert where I think they go, oh, like, they want everyone to go, oh.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'd just be like, wait, what?
No, the only...
It is the big twist at the end to bring back Seven.
It's yeah.
Like, that's what's in the box. This group sex situation.
It's, it's a photo
picture
of us all.
All these homies dick out standing next to each other with one woman.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing the photo from the end of Wonder Woman where it's like an oldie time picture, but they're all naked.
Yeah, they're still dressed like Batman and Aquaman, and you're just like,
just
what the
dick
fuck?
Just dig out, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
beautiful.
Brother.
That'd be awesome.
We've already punched it up.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah, that is super uncomfortable that they think, like, we got her. Like, that's like their closing argument for why this woman is poisoned. They're like, how do you know? Me and the crew used to do her. Oh, shit, case closed.
Like, the defense rests.
Yeah,
they want that, like, what? Oh, moment, but they're actually getting the oh that you get when you drop your tray in the cafeteria.
Yeah,
right.
It's like a wrong
oh.
Oh. Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Oh,
God, what? What are you talking about?
Are you okay?
Yeah. But I guess the implication is, like, how do you know that this is true of her? It's like, well, me and the crew used to do her, and it's like they left out the part where, like, and after we did her, then she tried to take our money, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
What are you talking
just, like,
about?
If you want to make fun of her, like, she was really bad at sex, so we all had sex with her to make sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it just feels like they're missing the key part of the story where it's like, and that's bad because...
It almost feels...
Sex is bad, all right?
It almost feels like they're just using, like, do her as, like, oh, we all used to date her, but they just like say it in like the shittiest way, being like, yeah, we used to do her.
Well,
and
I don't know if you guys, well, do you guys know what the follow up single to the song was?
No.
Antidote?
Oh, that would have been good. Yeah, just a really nice, like, respectful
Antidote.
Song. Like, it turns out I was wrong all along.
You can trust a big butt and smile.
Yeah, you can trust him. Ben. No, the follow up to this was called Do Me.
No!
With an exclamation point.
Oh,
beautiful.
The desperation continues.
And when I realized, after we were emailing, I was like, oh man, Doomy's even funnier than Poison. I don't know if you know Doomy, but it's hilarious. And
it's the same exact song.
It is
it's
kind
just
of
Doomy.
It's like a
Doomy,
sister
Doomy.
Song. Like
that
I kind of
girl
feel like
should Doomy.
In my mind, this song is Infinity War, and Doomy is Endgame. It's like two pieces. You cannot take them separately. They really form a whole piece.
Are there like 22 songs you have to listen to before?
Yes, you have to listen to all of New Edition's catalog, and then Michael Douglas shows up at the end.
You know, I've always said that New Edition was kind of like the Avengers of New Jack Swing.
They were, yeah. Actually, I know you're kidding, but like, because Ralph Tresvant, but first of all, Bobby Brown went solo first, and then he did a lot of great solo stuff. Ralph Tresvant was also in New Edition. He went solo. Then Johnny Gill, who replaced Bobby Brown in New Edition, also went solo.
Thor.
And they all had hits, and they were all in that style. And so this was the same year. Like, Belle Biv DeVoe and Johnny Gill and Ralph Tresvant's albums all came out the same year, and they were like dominated the charts, and they all had this like new sound, which was pretty great. But it was like New Edition just like split off. It was like the MCU.
Yeah.
They all like, we're gonna all do our own things, and then reform 10 years later when no one likes us anymore to do a reunion tour, which they did do, and it was not great. But.
Oh no!
Sorry.
Oh no!
Do me,
but
do
please
me.
Listen
do
to
me.
Do me.
Speaking of things we have to do, should we take an ad break?
Good thought. And we're back.
Poison!
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 You want to hit the next spot?
Oh, I really do.
I'm so excited.
I queued it up a little bit before because I got to hear that break again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, me and a crew used to do her.
Oh. And then it's just like, they keep not talking, just be like, sick
yeah.
with that.
Yeah, yeah, just let, gonna let you think about that for a minute.
You can feel them just staring at you, saying, do you get it?
Yeah. Huh? Right? Such a long break after yeah. me and the crew used to
because
do
because they're dancing now!
This is when, yeah, this is when this is happening, ready?
Oh, he's running, Manning! Wait, I want to wait. Yeah.
That's exactly correct.
That's the entire video.
I will post that video.
That is the entire video.
Beautiful.
What is that dance move? It's like a really like.
It's like a side running man kind of.
Yeah. It's like a Saturday Night Fever with both hands.
It's like they're unsheathing a katana and putting it back together.
Yes. Oh, thank you for your service.
No, you're
that
welcome.
I can absolutely see them going, like, me and the crew used to do it. And then just doing that for a solid minute. It's like, yeah. what?
Yep.
It's such a weird, like, I don't know, self-congratulatory moment.
Yes.
Yeah, did you hear that line? Did you hear that line?
Pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're going to take, like, 16 bars to let it sink in, guys. We used to do her.
Maybe they think it's a brag. They're like, yeah, that's right. We've had sex.
I think they do.
I guess, yeah.
I was just like, you know how we talk about this girl being awful? Well, we all liked her. We all were attractive to her.
And like, what's the guy the person they're talking to could either just be like, oh man, thanks for the warning, or be like, what are you talking about?
They'd be like, who the fuck are you?
Are you talking about Jill? The very nice woman that I just went on a date with? What the hell is going on?
Why would you tell me this? Why, okay.
We had a great time, and I don't know why you have to rain on my parade.
Don't trust her big butt or her smile. We all had sex with her. Man.
What?
You're like, all right, dude.
I don't think that's true, but okay.
You...
She wants your house, your money, your whole show, and also she's going to have sex with you and all your friends.
That sounds terrible.
Jill?
Wait, Jill, the one I just saw.
Yeah, okay. All right.
All right, thanks, man. Please leave me alone.
But so that's it, right? After after that mic drop, this must be the end of the song, right?
I like to imagine them now as like the Muses of Hercules, where it's like they're not really involved in the story, but they did pop out of like a bush after this guy's date to be like, we got to tell you something.
That's when that dance move where they're all stacked behind one person and they pop out as three.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking riddle you're decoding.
I love it.
I kind of now want to see a Broadway musical production of Poison.
We really just gotta turn every song that we cover into a musical.
Yeah.
I'm saying we have to do a review type show that is Punch Up the Jam the musical.
Yeah.
Oh god, that'd be great.
I also love this part where they just, it's like, poison, 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 poison.
Again, you've given us no indicator that she's poison. You have not used this metaphor in any way other than just screaming poison.
And also, this is where the production really starts to seem like, what? Did you have anything else to offer?
Nah. I like the production.
I do. I like
it's
it.
It's cheesy and dated, and I love it.
I like when the scratching comes in, but
it was dated for its time. That's the part I can't really. In 1990, like Tribe Called Quest's first album had already come out. Public Enemies, like Fear of a Black Planet, came out. There were like incredibly like production in rap had gone like so far beyond, and they like took it back to like 86 with this beat, and it's like,
it sounds
what
so
is
80s
this?
Especially the synth pad
so it was just odd at the time, and it was almost like it felt like they were just doing kind of like rudimentary, they were like, oh, we need to hold people's hands into the world of rap with this very simple thing, but it's so repetitive and weird at this moment. It's like, guys, I don't think we needed this part of the song.
A lot of this beat does feel like when you download a new program and just put like the auto drummer on, it's like, and they're like, all right, we'll add a horn every so often.
Yeah.
Okay, we still got, what, one more verse? Two more verse?
Oh, we got a whole rap breakdown, and then we go back to
another, wait, so we went rap breakdown, bridge, rap breakdown.
Yes. And then instrumental break. But also, like, it does kind of seem like me and the crew used to do, or should, the way they deliver it, it's like, you're done. That's your closing argument, right? There shouldn't be anything left to say at this point, right? You seem very confident that settles the matter of this woman being poisoned. But no, there
is
more.
It feels like they could tell that the guy was like, okay. And he started walking away. He's like, no, one more thing.
Hey, I thought of something else. Oh, yeah, come back.
All right, what I was trying to say is...
Poison. I was at the bar, shake, bigger, and taking them all. And that night, I played the wall. Checking out the fellas, the highs and lows. Keeping one eye open, still clocking the hoes.
Okay.
Yeah.
This sounds so much like Sexy Motherfucker by Prince to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's trying so hard to sound like Prince.
Yeah.
It's really weird. It's not working
but
for me.
But this, I think, predates that song, so maybe then. Prince ripped them up. Or,
I think Prince was deeply inspired by Bell Biv DeVoe.
I think so.
Prince,
I was at the Pork Shake, breaking and taking the ball. Like, it's like he's trying to put on this like nasal affect.
Yeah, I'm telling you, these guys aren't good rappers. They're not great singers, and they're terrible rappers.
They're really
They love it. They can't
Bell
help
Biv DeVoe,
it.
Come on the show.
Defend yourselves.
I don't even know. Like, yeah, they're probably very...
They're like, you know what make us sound cool? If we sound like we had a cold.
It does sound like it sounds like they have a cold, but I also feel like I hear tiny sunglasses. You know? Like those tiny thin, like
yes.
The tiniest. And yeah. They're kind of like blue tinted.
Yes.
Totally.
The small
Wait,
circles that
is this Biv? Is this Biv rapping?
This is Biv, yeah. Michael Bivins.
Biv did wear those little glasses. Oh, I can promise
tell.
You. Yeah.
I hear it.
Yeah.
It's in his voice.
Yeah. I was at the Paul Shake breaking and taking the
Oh,
mold.
We should also mention you guys probably know this, but I don't know if listeners do. Michael Bivins also discovered Boys to Men. And like,
I did not know that.
Yeah, he did Bell Biv DeVoe. He was like the sort of mastermind. And then he like started his own label, I think. And I think Boys to Men was like the first group he signed.
Wow. Okay, Biv, and you sound like you have a cold and you wear tiny sunglasses, but I'm back on board.
That's why you hear in Motown Philly, they say Boys to Men, ABC, BBD,
yeah.
Bell Biv DeVoe.
Oh!
And ABC East was Coast this family. Group of kids. Like, there were like 9 and 10-year-old kids who rapped. That was the other group that he signed. And there's like
so
this.
So funny.
Yeah. And they had a hit too. They were the guys that. The
Candy Girl?
No. What was the song? The Playground, Chilling at the Playground, something like that. Kind of obscure.
Chilling at the playground in my 6'4".
It was like at the playground, you know. And it was bad. But they're the ABC is the guys that Chris Cross was dissing when they say everything's to the back with a little slack because Inside Out is wiggity 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 whack. That's what ABC wore their clothes inside out.
There were rivalries in children's
rap. Yes.
Oh my god.
Absolutely.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So yeah, you know how Chris Cross wore their clothes backwards, right?
Yeah.
That was a response to ABC wearing them inside, and they're like, inside out, what about backwards? And they're like, oh.
That's so funny that the way they measured their rivalry was like, how's the most fucked up way we can wear clothes?
Yeah, and then that was appropriated by Taz Looney Tunes merchandise.
Yes. That was that's the trickle down of hip hop culture. Yeah.
And now finally we get to Demi's origin story.
And that's where it ends, really.
Tasmanian Devil merchandise.
Yeah.
So what he said was, I was at the park, shake, breaking, and taking them all.
Now that's basketball.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And at that night, I played the wall. Is that wall ball?
That means when you're at the club and you're just hanging back. You're not out dancing. You're just watching it all
I'm
happen.
So glad
tiny
you're
sunglasses.
Here. I would have created a whole narrative about wall ball.
Tiny sunglasses. He's got a vest on. His hands are in his big old the pockets of his big old pants, and he's leaning like 45 degrees on a wall.
This guy is definitely wearing like a triple XL vest right now. At this point.
He's leaning so hard it's not comfortable. It's actually an excruciating workout.
It's like if
he's doing at least like this. What is that? Yeah, the wall sits.
Yeah.
He's like, this is killing me, but it's so good for my quads.
If the vibration is too strong, he will fall.
He will slip. His head on the ground.
Yeah, that's a weird thing because, you know, like for a long time, the idea of playing the wall was like a negative. Like if you go to a school dance and you don't participate, then you're called a wallflower. Like that was the idea. But this guy was like, no, that's cool. Playing the wall is just like, I'm chilling.
Okay.
I don't have to.
He truly knows the perks of being a wallflower.
All right, guys, I have some new theories here.
Okay.
I think that there is maybe a little bit of like queer messaging in the song, Man to Man.
Well, you're about to get to it.
And I also think that perhaps all of these boys were virgins.
Oh, definitely.
He's like, actually, guys, it's cool to not hang out with girls.
Right.
And then he's like, actually, guys, we all fucked her. So I guess she's a loser, huh?
It does.
She had sex with a lot of people.
I mean, come on. That's lame.
Me and the crew used to do her so clearly a made up response to someone being like, how do you know? It's like,
my girlfriend goes to a different school.
Yeah, me and the crew used to do her. We do her.
Yeah. So I don't know what you're talking about, but we totally did her.
Yeah.
But yeah, he does say checking out the fellas.
Yeah, it's his next line.
So like
checking out
up,
the fellas, the highs and lows.
That either means the sneakers, the high tops and low tops, or it might mean high top fade and low top fade, the haircuts.
I thought it was like checking out the competition, like the ones that he's got to look for and the ones that are not a problem.
Yeah. I thought it was a queer anthem, and now I'm kind of disappointed.
Could be.
No, but he still says he's checking out the fellas,
yeah.
So I think it could be both. I mean, he could be checking them out for potential partnership, sexual partnership.
Sure.
He's trying to find other, he's like, I got a new group thing going on and I'm trying to find other people to join me.
I need a new swing.
Yeah. A new jack swing.
He could have just been looking for artists to sign to his label. Yeah, that's definitely true.
Oh, more children rappers.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I hope that's not what it is.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well, that is why he'd be at the park.
There
what if
you
we
go.
What if we accidentally stumbled on this crazy pedophilia ring that Michael Bailey started?
We uncovered it.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
He said keeping one eye open. So there is like some weird suspicion here.
But we're both eyes, what does that mean? So he were basically asleep.
I think he's saying like one eye is operating like a normal eye and like doing whatever he needs to do with his life. And then the other eye is clocking the hose.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's got one eye on the fellas and the other eye. So he's bisexual.
So he's looking at the guys going, checking you out and then going, I don't know, ladies. I'm not so sure about you.
Y'all better stay the fuck away from me. I'm here to look for fellas.
I'm here with my boys. We're going to have group sex later. You are not invited.
He's kinda
handing out flyers, just being like, no ladies allowed.
Wow, that's a really good impression.
Thank you.
You should consider talking like that and see how your world changes.
Oh, Miel, I just...
Just for a day.
I can't handle swatting away all the women.
You would.
The tiny sunglasses just falling off my nose constantly.
Can we get you like a high top fade and then tiny sunglasses and you only talk like that from now on?
That's how I'm going to dress for our live show.
Oh, yes.
I'll get you like a big Guatemalan fabric jacket.
Yes. Oh, this is what you wanted for me all along.
This whole time I've been conditioning Demi to look like the guy from Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
By the way, I stumbled on an interview with Michael Bivins a couple of years ago. It was like a pretty recent interview with him. And the way he waxed philosophical about this song, it was, you would have thought he painted the Sistine Chapel ceiling. It was insane how proud he was. But I mean, rightfully so. It's a huge hit. It's definitely a banger.
He probably made a ton of money off this song.
Yeah, yeah. But it was, but also he didn't, I mean, the other guys produced it. I don't know. But he was kind of talking about like, yeah, I mean, a lot has happened in music in the last 25 years, but put this one on and guess what? People still going to shake it.
Like, it's true.
I mean, and it is true, but it was funny because it's like, dude, I don't know how much you have. Like,
research? Critical opinion?
But also, like, it's not like he's riding high. Like, I don't think he's done much in his career in the last few years. So it's kind of like, man, it's a little sad the way you're still, like, eating. You're still, like, you know, dining out on this story of, like, remember Poison, guys? Oh, my God.
Okay, I give it to you. Take whatever accolades you want from your past life. That's fine with me. Yeah.
I guess it's weird to me because I'm like, if you discover Boys to Men, like, you can ride on that
that's
for a while.
That's what I'm saying. That's a much bigger accomplishment. Yeah. And he probably had a piece of everything they did because of that.
He probably inspired their whole, like, all-white, tiny sunglasses look.
Oh, of course. Of course he did. I think he probably dressed them at first. Like, he was like, this is what you got to do, guys. Okay. Like, come with me. I'm going to take you shopping.
And also, I need you to be 60-degree angled all time.
What were you going to say, Miel?
If you could consider perhaps buying an all-white suit and doing that for one day only.
Yeah, one day. You want me to do it one day? Miel,
one day. With a hat.
With the hat?
White hat.
Hold on. Then you both have to do it because you can't just have one person like that.
Okay.
Live show.
Okay.
When we go on tour, that's going to be our outfit every night.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Amazing.
Okay.
But it's like also, once you embrace the white suit lifestyle, you do that all the
time. It changes you.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's also, people are like, is that a ghost?
They already think that because my skin's translucent.
Right. You're just going to blend in. If it snows, you're disappearing.
I'll disappear. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Then he goes on to say.
There was one particular girl that stood out for the rest. Poison ass can be with a high power chest. Michael Bivins said, and I'm running the show. Belle, Biff DeVoe. Now
you know. Yo, slick. Blow. Okay, definite virgin. Nobody says high-powered chest. What the hell are you talking about, dude? Is he talking about her tits? That's how he describes someone's breast?
Absolutely.
A high-powered chest.
Now that's what we in the gang call a high-powered chest.
Top league.
I love it. I'm just imagining Hillary Clinton powering out onto the dance floor.
Look at this high-powered chest coming at me. Oh, that's First Lady Hillary Clinton.
Top league chest. A-plus bottom.
A-plus bottom. Yeah, I don't trust it, though. If you couldn't hear what he said, because I sure as shit couldn't. Why was the laugh mixed so much louder than the vocal?
It's basically like, now you know.
Sorry, Marissa. Marissa just threw up on the computer.
I understand.
Fair enough.
He said there was one particular girl that stood out from the rest.
Very Prince.
Poisonous can be.
It's like that. That lets you know that they just use poison as shorthand now. That's how ingrained it is. Like, oh, did you see that poison coming on the street? Look out for that poison.
You know what? I think maybe in the modern era, some people anyways that don't totally understand this term like to throw around toxic in the same way.
Yeah.
They're like, oh God, they're so toxic. I'm like, oh my God, they're totally toxic. And you're like, well, Do you even know what that fucking means, or are you just saying that?
By the way, it's very clear they're trying to make poison happen as a slang term.
Yeah.
It didn't work. Nobody said that.
Oh,
after
that
this.
Girl, poison.
Yeah. Oh my god, check out poison over here. Oh no.
Also, it doesn't help. It's like a very famous band already at this point.
Right.
Oh yeah.
But the fact that the song was a hit and they were very popular and they still couldn't make people use that as a slang term tells you how off they were.
Right. Michael Biv here, and I'm running the show.
Just totally discarding the. Basically, this entire song is about what it sounds like. A girl that he saw at the club. And then he's like, anyway, moving on from that. Michael Biv here, and I'm running the show.
And I'm here to say.
Yeah.
I am poison in every way. Oh, my God. The poison was me the whole time.
I think his head explodes. Equivalent of me saying, just play the next clip, please, was him being like, high power chest. Anyways, my name is Michael Biv.
Yeah, right. Don't focus on that part. That was weird. I'm sorry. Why did I say that out loud? Anyway.
Ronnie, can you just laugh really fucking loud into the mic?
It's him doing a story where it's entirely set up and then just gets to like one line where it's like, that's the point of what I'm trying to say. But anyway, let me tell you now about me. Here's a little about the author.
This isn't Regulators where they're like, music, melody.
Chords, strings.
We've exhausted.
We brings melody.
Everything we had to say.
The rhythm is life, and life is rhythm.
I preferred that, to be honest.
Yeah. And
that actually makes more sense than what this guy's trying to lay down, and that makes no sense.
Who's slick, and what does blow mean? The horse?
Okay, that's what's so funny to me. There's a few things that are hilarious. Hilarious. Never trust a big button smile is hilarious. And him calling, I think it's Ricky Bell, calling him slick. And then to say it's time for you to start singing, he calls that blowing. Like as if his voice is a horn, I guess. That idea of like we are like they're like jazz cats all of a sudden.
You know what?
Oh, yeah.
I think he was demanding cocaine.
Oh, you're slick.
Put out his hand. Blow.
Blow
me. Oh, no. Nope.
Oh.
See, I heard it.
Oh, wait a minute.
Blow me. Blow me. Blow me.
I mean, with how many other, like, Tobias Funke moments there are in this song,
oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much from the Me and the Creaser Doer, the rest of this song takes on a different connotation.
I'm like, wait, are you trying to say that you want to fuck your friends? Because I can't tell.
Yo, slick. Fellatio.
And then we just have the hook.
We have come so far from the... Remember the first verse, guys, when they were actually talking directly to a woman?
Yes.
This is crazy.
We do just have pretty much this. The rest of the song is the same, except for, like, a few ad-libs.
It's driving me. Oh, the band's gone.
Listen to how hard he's blowing right now.
That bass is cool.
That is a good bass line.
Rob Moore?
You're dead. You'll never play for the Jets.
Oh, the...
Just a big button smile.
They make it sound so good in the shit thing they say. Here's where they just start talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby, they in full effect. Yo, what's up to Ralph T and Johnny G? Yeah, and I can't forget about my boy D Brown.
What?
They throw in the laugh again.
It's so Jason Mraz of them.
They're very proud of themselves for everything they've just done.
I actually love that bass.
It's so good. Now to get that isolated would have been amazing.
It would have
been really good.
Yeah.
I think someone should just do a new song only off of that bass riff. That was great.
Oh yeah, you could sample that.
It was amazing.
Is that the only time that happens in the song?
Only time I heard it.
I think it's every single time that they go to that hook, it's just so quiet.
You can't hear it under the drum that's killing your ear.
Yeah, but then he said, "Yo, fellas, that was my end of."
You know what I'm saying, Mike?
He doesn't finish that sentence.
No.
Dot dot dot. And then he goes, "Yeah, BBD in full effect." And then just starts shouting out the other members of New Edition.
Right.
What's up to Ralph T and Johnny G and the whole N.E. crew.
The whole N.E. crew. No one ever called them that.
New England or New Edition?
Both, I guess, because they're from Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Boston!
By the way,
girls
I did hear...
from Boston.
This is funny, too. I just read that they performed this song at a... an event to support the victims of the Boston Marathon bombing.
Why?
Can you just wrap your head around that for a second?
I think.
Yeah.
Also weird.
I like to imagine
lift the spirits of
those.
They
did like
folks.
A solemn version though.
Like an acoustic remix.
Honestly, how long till a trailer does that? with Poison.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say the next Maleficent trailer is going to do it.
Absolutely.
I mean, especially because the first line, I must warn you. No, you got to put it in a minor key and then put it on like a fucking cool piano.
Oh, yeah.
Haunting. Children singing.
I mean, if they don't do it, will you please do it?
I guess I have to. Yeah. I'm going to do two punch-ups for this.
Well, you don't have to. Just wait until Maleficent 2 comes out.
I can see the court, like the like, do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Like, what was that?
The doom, 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 doom. Like them using that for the end of a trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, just getting louder and louder. It just suddenly becomes Kashmir by Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that took a turn I wasn't expecting it to.
Yeah.
So you weren't super familiar with the lyrics.
Not at all.
So this is a weird way to have, now you've set, you've gone through it. What are your thoughts?
I'm more on board with your theory that they're not very good musicians.
Okay.
Certainly there was a couple runs, especially towards the end there, that I was like, not quite.
You know what occurred to me at that last part is that they started out in the music business as children before they hit puberty.
Oh, maybe it changed their voice.
And I think especially Ricky Bell, like no one told him, you can't sing that way anymore. You're not a child.
Like a Justin Bieber situation.
Yeah, so he's like caught between like,
or Hanson.
This is how this is my role in the group. I have to sing at this, like in this range. And it's like, no, you don't. You're a man now.
And Michael Bivins is going through a Benjamin Button thing. And everyone's like, no, just speak a normal voice. Like, no, I gotta talk
like
this.
Leave it for Boyz II Men, man.
I gotta do this thing the whole time.
Yeah, and then lyrically, it's just, what a clusterfuck. That's just confusing.
Yeah.
I'm just confused.
It's venting by a guy who got dumped and his buddies are just like, we're gonna make up shit about
her. Did he even get dumped?
I don't know.
Did they ever even date?
I fully believe that it's like they went on a few dates and she was like, I'm really not into it. And it's like, man, she was trying to take me for my money. She just got a free dinner and now she owns my house.
Yeah, absolutely. This is someone they just passed in a hallway once. It's like, that's all that happened. It's like, oh, yeah, we just saw Sade at a benefit concert. Yeah. And I was
I
like,
I think she wants my house.
Yeah, I was going to say something to her, but she seemed standoffish, so I didn't. And now I'm going to write this song about it.
I still like the beat's cool, though.
Oh, the beat's great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's timeless.
And I still think it gets the party going. And I do think that's like a unique skill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm going to take out the katanas every time I fucking hear this song.
How on earth could you have improved it?
Well, I think we all agree that lyrically the song is a little bit in flux, but I do think that there's a certain part of it that I'm like, well, that's the song you write. So I just made the entire song about
it. It's just a laundry list of different types of poison.
Yes. Let's drink some Raid.
Spider-Man and Freeze in full effect. Uh-huh. You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
You ready, Biv?
I'm ready, Slippy. You?
Oh, yeah. Break it down.
Girl, I must warn you.
Woo-hoo!
Sense something strange in my mind. Got me feeling so lecherous. Lecherous. Our bodies intertwined.
Hell yeah.
You're just so beautiful. This doesn't seem too direct.
Check it out.
Cause I'm so friendly. Not just in the way you might expect.
Let me explain.
Before we get out of our clothes, I've got this idea to propose. Can't get it out of my head. What if we got frisky?
More dudes.
Let's have a foursome.
Yep.
Yes.
Exactly correct.
You, me, and two other guys. Let's have a foursome.
If I were you, I'd use protection.
Don't keep any condoms at the crib.
They feel weird.
And contraception. Dad to any kids.
Ronnie might.
It's so fun. Cause two is much better than one. And two of two is like four times that. So stay the hour. Enjoy our close encounter. Let's make a pile or maybe Eiffel Tower.
Foursome funky, getting on down. Making like the London Stock Exchange, trading pounds. Running trains so we're getting around. You're a VW bug and we're the clowns. We ain't just one, hon, we're a compound. Probably thinking it'll make things weird, but I promise there ain't nothing to it.
How do you know?
Me and the crew always do it.
Every single time. All three of us. Like, it's just how we like to do this. We like it better that way. Force him. Busting down the door, gonna score on the damn floor. And then I'm thinking we play Connect Four. Maybe we could go back to back in the line, or do a 6,969. We could even do it doggy if you prefer. You could ride cowgirl on the whole damn herd. Michael Bibb and I'm running the show. Belle Bibb DeVoe. Now you know. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
Before we get out of our clothes, I've got an idea to propose. Can't get it out of my head. Me, you, and two others. Let's have a
foursome.
Just gotta have all of my guys.
Horses.
Yeah, all of us.
Horses.
Every single person here is integral to the
horses.
You gotta have four people for a foursome. That's me and Ronnie and Bev and you two.
Yes. Oh my
Thank
God.
You.
Incredible.
Beautiful. I can't believe you didn't give that away. We were circling that the whole time.
I was like, okay, just stay calm.
I'm so glad that we didn't, because it's that the payoff was amazing.
Thank you.
So
the whole first verse, I was like, where is he going with this?
I specifically had to like remake the entire like instrumental, because there's so many parts of it where the instrumental, they say poison. I was like, I don't want to put foursome in there too early. So,
Brilliant. You're so impressed with your harmonies.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it sounded pitch perfect.
Your impression was perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And the way you differentiate between each of the members, I was like, I know who's singing. My favorite part, I think, was watching you read the lyrics in studio and quietly mouthing them as the
punch
was
playing.
They're great.
Some of the lines in there, I was like, this is the stupidest thing. Like, the you're a VW bug and we're the clowns is so gross.
Great.
It was fantastic.
Thank you.
Oh.
Pulling a train.
Like a perfect
doing a 6,969.
Beautiful.
That killed
Thank
me.
You. Now we got to go to the Unpunchables.
Can't punch this.
Matt is our esteemed guest.
Yeah.
What is your Unpunchable?
So many directions to go. Like, because I listen to the show every week, I often find myself going, oh, this is what I would do. This is what I would do. But I like when you guys go with like the same year or some thematic
Red.
Tie-in. So I stumbled on some crazy piece of information, which is that, do you guys know the Bomb Squad? That's Public Enemy's production team.
Oh, yeah.
No.
They produced all of Public Enemy's albums. Incredible guys. They actually worked on this album. They mixed this song, and they produced a few other songs on the debut Belle Biv DeVoe album, which blows my mind, because like I said, this sounds so like dated for 90. And the same year that they did that, they made Fear of a Black Planet, which is a Public Enemy album that I love a lot and listen to nonstop that year, 1990. And so I got to pick something from that album. And just so people listening to this episode can know, there is other stuff happening in 1990 that was like, that wasn't like this.
That was the year Do the Right Thing came out.
Do the Right Thing came out 89,
oh,
but then that's when they were working on that album, and Fight the Power was on that soundtrack, but then was on the album Fear of a Black Planet the following year. So yeah, it's in the same, basically the same sessions that gave us Fight the Power, was like that went into the Do the Right Thing soundtrack. So this, I had to pick one song from that album, and I picked the first one, which is Brother's Gonna Work It Out.
Brother to brother, not another as sincere. Teach a man how to be a father, to never tell a woman he can't bother. You can't say you don't know what I'm talking about. But one day, brother's gonna work it out.
Really innovative production-wise, just sounds very cool. These guys were known for just layering samples like so deep. There's so many different sounds happening at the same time, but it all kind of works. And there's like a weird guitar riff that they built the song around that's like the hook of it. And it kicks off the album kind of, and it's just like, it just gets you right into it.
It's always so weird to me to think of like Flava Flav as being a part of Public Enemy, just because like what he is currently or like
it
what
makes
he shifted.
No sense.
Yeah. But
even at the time, it made no sense because he was so opposite. I mean, I guess that's what their idea was, like Chuck D's very serious and political and like, you know, he's like laying it down. And then they're like, we got to have something to balance that out. So like, how about this crazy guy just like doing nut? But that actually, that album also has a song that Flava Flav did called 911 is a Joke, which is a very early example of the black community saying, hey, police aren't being very nice to us. Yeah. And so it's interesting. Like, it's just a good album. And I encourage people to listen to the whole thing, actually, because it's really great.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
For my Unpunchable, I was just truly going to pick a song that I was listening to on the way here, which is Take You Out by Luther Vandross. Excuse me, miss, what's your name? Where are you from? Can I come and possibly, can I take you out tonight? It's just a wonderful song, the complete opposite of this. It's him saying, like, excuse me, miss, what's your name? Can I come? Where are you from? Can I take you out tonight? And it's just like a very sweet love song from a golden-voiced man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know, just feels like a good song to listen to on a romantic drive. It's always something I'm, like, singing in my car quietly. It's great.
Nice.
Beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah.
Luther Vandross's voice is, like...
Man. Excuse me, miss.
What do you complain... How can you compare that to anything?
I don't know.
It's just...
It's butter.
It's just... Yeah. I think for mine, I think I'm going to go Rogue.
Ooh,
I think I'm going to go Rogue right now.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to do what I was going to do.
Okay.
I think too many people know it, and I don't like doing songs that are too popular.
What were you going to do?
By the way, 80% of the time, I don't know the songs you guys pick for
really?
Unpunchables, which is great, because then I'm like, oh, cool, something
Ooh.
New. But so don't, okay. just know that
Here's
going in.
Gonna
I probably
do.
Won't know what you're going to say.
Okay, I was going to do Sorry by Beyonce.
Okay.
Because I love it. It's just like a fuck you anthem.
Oh, totally.
It's such a fantastic song. The structure is so interesting. But everyone kind of knows that song. So I'm going to go Rogue, and I'm going to do Oh Baby by LCD Sound System.
Oh, yes.
Love every sound on this song, and it kind of reminds me of Poison in the way that Poison starts with one phrase that then becomes another one within a bar, and you're like, whoa, this feels like a very different song. This LCD Sound System song is very similar in the sense that it starts with just this like little ticking drum sound, and then when this bass synth comes in, you're like, whoa,
it's
what
so good.
The fuck?
Yeah.
And then and I love the melody, and it's so weird because it sounds like such a harsh song instrumentally.
Yeah.
But then the voice and the bass together, it's actually really soothing and kind of beautiful in a weird way.
Right.
I just can't say enough good things about the song.
It's a fantastic song. I'm so glad that LCD Sound System came back.
Like, oh, it's such a good album.
Yeah.
Such a good album.
And hearing them like live just perform after that, when it's like, oh, we've had this time where we thought we weren't going to see them again, and then we get a new album and get to see it. I was just like, oh my God, it's beautiful. And the music video for that is fantastic.
I haven't seen it.
It's directed by Ryan Johnson. It's like a small...
Oh, your friend.
Whoa.
Your close personal friend.
We don't have to do this. but yeah, it's a really good, yeah.
If you're wondering what I'm saying, I think that's from a Patreon episode.
It is, yeah.
You guys, you have to subscribe to find out!
Anyway.
Matt, thank you so much for coming on the
show. Oh, thank you for having me.
Where can people follow you, find you, listen to you?
I'm on Never Not Funny, the Jimmy Pardo podcast every week. That's wherever you get podcasts, and it's on Earwolf. So if you want to go to Earwolf, I guess
Very
you can find it there.
Podcast.
Yeah, Demi's been on it. It's good times. And yeah, just follow. I'm not really, I kind of quit social media because I think it's Poison, actually.
Our smart?
It's,
yeah.
It's Poison.
That's
poison.
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 Poison. So just follow Never Not Funny on Twitter, and you can find us on Facebook too at facebook.com/nevernotfunny.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. Yeah. I love having a really educated guest.
Yes.
That's nice of you to say. I don't really feel the only thing I did was I was alive when this song came out.
No,
that's
you
enough.
Knew a lot about producing and mixing
well,
and shit.
Well, that I looked
you,
up. Yeah. That I did do a deep dive after we picked it. Cause I was like, yeah, I gotta know. And it is a weird, it's a weird song.
It's a good counterweight to our fucking crazy asses.
Yeah. There are many songs we've covered that we've been alive and aware of it, like at the time of release, and still she's like, I didn't know that.
Listen, we have weird comedy brains that just kind of scatter.
Yeah.
I can't explain it, but sometimes I don't think it makes the best podcasting. And
oh, sure.
That's why
I
we
disagree.
Have guests like you.
I think it makes the best podcast because then it's funny and entertaining. And
oh,
like,
thank you.
I do like learning stuff. Like, I do learn stuff from your show, but I come for the laughs.
Right.
So,
hell yeah. Well, in that case, check this out. Play the next clip.
This is so crazy. This is so crazy. The laptop just rebooted me.
Oh my God.
So I want to ask you, what was that?
Yeah. I feel like I maybe did I interrupt you? Were about to do something funny?
No.
Yeah.
That's so weird. I guess
sitting right next to you.
If you want to follow the show, it's Punch Up the Jam on everything. I'm Miel and Demi's Electro 11. You can listen to our Patreon episodes once a week. Brand new episodes of that for $7 a month. It's a pretty good deal,
it's a
honestly.
Good deal. We got a lot of other stuff in there too.
All right, I'll do it.
You also have to download all the punch ups.
Yeah.
So you don't have people laughing on them. And we sometimes even do better and improved versions for the Patreon only. And that's all I had to say.
Good night, everybody.
Okay, that was
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.